Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read a few verses here, and these will serve as our text. 2 Corinthians 3. Read verses 13 through 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 13 through 18. It says, well, verse 12, let's start there. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, boldness of speech, and not as Moses, who put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. That is, they could not look on his face when he came down from the mountain, that we were reading about. Verse 14, their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. And even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn, that is, the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom to understand, freedom to know, believe, freedom from sin. But we all, talking to believers, talking to the Corinthian church, we all, with open face, not veiled, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And we're changed into the same image, from glory to glory, by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. He says, we all. Now, he's talking about himself, the apostles, all believers. We all behold the glory of the Lord, he said. We're beholding the glory of the Lord, but through a glass. Not the complete Shekinah glory, but we are beholding his glory through a glass. Now, our Lord said this one time. He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And that describes our generation, seeking after signs. People want to see something spectacular, want to see something phenomenal, some glorious vision, something, want to feel some great feeling. That is so fresh on my mind, having come from Pensacola, Florida. If below the Mason-Dixon is the Bible Belt, Florida is the buckle. That's the seat of religion. It's just unbelievable. There are at least six different religious channels full of everything you can imagine. Anything. Everything. And I beheld some of those as just thumbing through those channels, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people go and listen to those people, those persons. Well, men and women want to see something spectacular, something phenomenal. This whole world is largely become what you might call Pentecostal. The whole world, it's not just the United States, but throughout the world that this has been exported to other countries. All these miracle healings and so-called tongues and so forth. And they call this the Holy Spirit. They call it the moving of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And People hear voices. I don't doubt that. People feel feelings. People are seeing things. They are. Yes, they are. But it's not God's Spirit. It's not the glory of God that they're seeing. It's a delusion. Read with me 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 12. Paul said this a long time ago, that he whose coming is after the working of Satan, that is the Antichrist or the spirit of Antichrist, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, in unbelievers, because they receive not the love of the truth. You see that? Because they do not love the truth, do not love what God's Word really says about Himself, about man, about salvation, about Christ. They don't receive the love of the truth, but they like these visions. The love of the truth is what saves, isn't it? That's what he said. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. It's truth that sets you free. From what? Visions. From deceivers. Read on. And so for this cause, verse 11, since they receive not God's word, the truth, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, that had pleasure in unrighteousness. But he goes on to say about the believers in 2 Thessalonians, he said in verse 13, I love this, my favorite verse, one of them, but we're bound to give thanks to God, always to God, for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, pre-loved of God, because God had from the beginning chosen you. Why do you love the truth? Why do you know the truth? Why do you believe the truth? Because God chose you to. That's what he said in Isaiah 43. He said, you I've chosen that you might know me. The nations of the world don't know me. And many say they do, but they don't. But I've chosen you out of every tribe, kindred, and nation, that you might know me, the true God, and the true salvation. I've chosen you. There might even be two brothers in one house. If he chooses one, passes by the other. That's not being unfair. That's God's sovereign prerogative. Neither one of them deserved it. Might be two sisters in one house. He chooses one to reveal himself to and leaves the other. Huh? It might be four children in one house and not reveal himself to any of them. It's his prerogative. Not reveal himself to all of them. Bless him. You I've chosen, he said. How? How does he reveal himself? Read on. I've chosen you to salvation through setting apart sanctification of the Spirit. Now notice this carefully. We just read this over in Exodus 33. Moses said, this is how we're going to know we're set apart from all the other people of the world. You remember reading that? Moses said, how are we going to know? This is how we may know we're set apart from everybody else. How? Not the signs and the visions and the wonders. Not special feelings. We're going to see. To behold His glory. And that's what you talk about. His true glory. Belief of the truth. Belief of the truth. All right, go back to our text there. 2 Corinthians. Belief of the truth. That is, believing the true God. Believing the true Christ. The true gospel. The truth. All right, now Scripture says the heavens declare God's glory. Yes, it does. The heavens declare His glory. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Men are without excuse. They can see the creative glory of God. Sky, the celestials, the earth, the waters of the earth. Oh, we've been sitting on the most beautiful beach, ocean shore that I know of. I've been to many of them. And sand as white as sugar, and the water is aqua. And that to behold that vast ocean coming in, but so far, never going any further. How does it do that? The tides go in and out. But never any further than that right there. Why? Because God said so. You behold His glory. We behold His creative glory. The mountains, as beautiful as the ocean is, I love these Blue Ridge Mountains. There's nothing more glorious. Blue Ridge Mountains, God's creation. Animals, marvelous, marvelous. Man, God's most marvelous creature, man, created in His image. Glory. But God's true glory now, God's true glory is not seen with these eyes. You understand me? God is spirit. This is what our Lord said. God is spirit. And Christ said, no man has seen God who is spirit. He can't look on Him. It's like looking into the face of the sun. You can't do it. And the sun pales in comparison to the essence of God. You can't. And I can't even describe Him. But He is. It says He dwells in light that no man can get close to and approach Him to. God has to veil Himself. That sound familiar? Well, but it's not seen. The glory of God, the essential glory, the greatest glory of God, is not seen with these. It's not something you see. It's not something you feel. It's not something you observe. Like the kingdom of God is not something you observe. Well, here it is. There it is. Look at chapter 4. Look at verse 18. Paul continues this thought on into chapter 5 and on. Verse 18, Paul says, we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. The things that are seen, things we see, are temporal. Everything you see is not going to last. Everything we see is not going to last. It fades. It dies. Everything seen, everything you see fades away. Everything. So that's the world. Everything in it, all sights, visions, sounds, wonders, glories of man, the earth, everything in it fades away. What does that tell you? That there's not much to it. It's like a mirage or something. Isn't that beautiful? Remember the disciples were walking out of the temple and, oh, look at the temple. And our Lord said, not one stone's going to be left on another. That's not glory. And that's what Paul is writing here in chapter 3. That's not glory. And these signs and visions and wonders that people are wanting to see, and some of them are seeing things, that's not glory. And it's not even from God. I mean, it's not of God. It's not God's glory. They're seeing things, they're feeling things, it's not God's Spirit. But we all, Paul said, we all, believers, we're beholding His glory. If your eye be single this morning, if God give you ears to hear, you have ears, but now you need an ear. Everything in this world is distracting you right now. You need an eye. You need a spiritual eye. You need a spiritual ear. You need God's Holy Spirit to show you His glory. And I'm not going to do anything spectacular this morning. Nobody's going to fall in the floor. Nobody's going to jump and shout and scream. I'm not going to talk in an undiscernible language. I'm going to talk about somebody then. And you're going to behold God's glory. It says we all, beholding His glory. Look at it again. Look at our text. Verse 18 of chapter 3. We all, with open face, the veil's gone. I thought, why even go away from Exodus 33? Let's go there. That was being opened up to me as we were reading it. I don't know how many times I've read that and heard it preached. It was just, were things, new things opening up. We all, with open face, no veil, beholding, but in a glass. In a glass. Paul said in another place, we see through a glass half. Dimly, darkly, as in a glass. as in a looking glass or a magnifying glass or a telescope or a microscope, but we do see God's glory. We're all beholding it, but it's in a glass, and we're not seeing the whole picture. When we were on the ocean, we would see dolphins or people with binoculars looking at dolphins swim by and so forth. And it was a sight to see them, you know. We went to one of those IMAX theaters. You ever been to one of those IMAX, anybody? The screen is 62 feet high and 85 feet wide, and it covers the screen, and they project you into that. And we were with the dolphins. We were swimming among the dolphins. We saw the whole picture. I mean, it was like we were really there. Before, aren't they neat? And then Brother Stephen and you felt like you were swimming. And, wow. We see through a glass, though. We're beholding glory. Isn't this wonderful? It's wonderful. The scriptures, see, our vision is so blurred by flesh. Our mind is so limited. So limited. Our comprehension is so limited. Our ears, it's hard for you to hear right now. You're having a hard time hearing this message because millions of thoughts are running through your mind. Other things are, we're not just wrestling with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, who does not want you to see His glory. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. Where a vision of His glory is liberty. He would rather you see things. He would rather you be taken up with signs and visions of one. He would rather that than God's glory. Go back to Exodus 33 now. Let's go back there. You see, the children of Israel saw many things. The children of Israel saw many signs and wonders, did they not? Wouldn't you have loved to have seen what they saw? Wouldn't you? I would have. But it didn't do them any good. There was only two persons over 20 years old went into the Promised Land for 40 years. They saw miracles, signs and wonders. They saw water. They saw the plagues, you know, as they were being delivered from Egypt, all the plagues, swarms of people. We've seen every one of those plagues in our time. Yes, we have. Mankind, Egypt, the world has seen these plagues, but they don't believe it's of God, just like Pharaoh didn't back then. You know, God's people see this is the hand of God. Well, they saw water turn to blood. They saw flies, hail, fire. They saw all these plagues, you know. They saw, as they were going through the wilderness, bread fell out of the sky. They went out and picked up bread off the ground. Where do we get our bread? Where you get your tomatoes, Henry? You go outside and pick them. It's still glorious. No matter we plant, God gives the increase. It's of God. We see His glory in a tomato. They saw water from a rock. Water just come out of a rock. And you know that rock followed them? Everywhere they went, that rock followed them. Amazing. They saw a pillar of fire. It protected them from their enemies. They saw the sea parted. The way just parted before them, amazingly, miraculously, sovereignly, providentially parted. They didn't see God's glory. They didn't even believe God. That's not God's glory.
That's not God's glory.
They didn't see it. They didn't believe. They believed what they saw, but they didn't believe God.
This is important. Because our generation is looking to see something. See something.
Well, Exodus 33, look at verse 13. Moses wanted to see something too. But Moses said this in verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Show me, Lord, your way. Now Moses saw all these things. And he knew it was God. He acknowledged it was God. God's judgments, God's blessings, God's providence. He did. That's of God, he said. And he thanked God for his for everything. But now Moses, after seeing all this, he said, he was alone with the Lord on the mountain. And he said, show me your way. Show me your way. What does that mean? Your mind. Your will. Your purpose. Who you are. What you are. What you're doing. Why you're doing it. Your way. God is a way. There's one way. Everything leads to this way. One way. Yes, the ways of God are mysterious, but you know, it all is one way. Show me your way. What have you got in mind, O Lord, about everything? What is all this about? The whole, everybody's asked that question, though. What's it all about? What's the meaning of life? One way. Ephesians 1. I tell you. God's made known unto us the mystery. His way. His will. Ephesians 4 said there's one. One. Show me verse 18. Moses went on to say, verse 18, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He'd seen glorious things, but he said to God, I want to see your glory. Your glory. You. I want to see you. Now here's a man who wants to know God, wants to know the truth of God, wants to know the mind of God, wants to know God. Like Paul said, oh, that I might know Him. The way to God. Show me. If I found grace, and it's going to be by grace, if He shows you, it's by grace. Well, God said, what did God say? I will. To anybody who asks Him to show them His glory and His way, He'll say, I will. Seeking me, you'll find me. He said, ask, you'll see. Knock, it'll be open. Seek, you shall find. But people are looking for visions and signs and wonders, so they're getting them. And they're real. And they're telling you, you should have seen what we saw. They saw something. They did. Things are going on. People are flopping all over the floor. People are doing crazy things. Things are happening. They're seeing things. But it's not God's Spirit. And it's not God's glory. And God's presence is not there. It's not there. But I tell you where it is. It's seeing what Moses saw. It's hearing what Moses heard. You understand? We are. We're beholding His glory, as Paul said. Not with a veil. All right, let's go on. God said, I will. Verse 19. God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Look down at chapter 34 and verse 5. It says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. The Lord did. Somebody stood there with Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord. If you'll notice here, Moses didn't see anything. Moses didn't see something happen. There was a person there, but he wasn't doing anything. He was telling something. Moses was hearing something. Look at the next verse. And the Lord passed by. Moses said, show me your glory. He said, all right, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. So the Lord came down on that mountain where Moses, and he said to Moses before that, said, you can't see all of me. I'm going to have to veil myself. I'm going to stick you. He said, there's a cliff in the rock over here. A cliff in a rock. Does that sound familiar? Rock of ages, cliff for me. I'm going to stick you in the cliff of the rock, this riven rock, and I'm going to pass by. God's going to come by. And I'm just going to move my hand just briefly, and you're going to see, not my face, you can't, nobody's ever seen the face, the unveiled, complete face of the whole glory. You can't do it and live. It's like being in the sun. At least I'm going to show you my back parts. You're going to get a glimpse of God. Like I said, Moses saw and heard much of God's glory and his signs and vision, but now he's seeing God's glory. What was it? It's not a what. It's a who. It's God himself. Let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. Who is the Lord? Who was this standing there with Moses? Somebody stood there. And to say that, look at it again. Chapter 34, verse 5 says, the Lord descended in the cloud. I remember him ascending in the cloud before or after. It says, he stood with him there, the Lord did. Who? Jesus Christ. This was Jesus Christ standing there with Moses. Yes, it was. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. Now, this is what Moses heard, and this is the glory he, upon hearing, saw. The way. He saw God's way. He saw God's glory. And it was all through this. Hearing what the Lord had to say. The Lord was there. The Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. What? Bodily. Our Lord, in Proverbs 8, you want to turn there real quickly, Proverbs 8. You know, the Lord made several appearances to his people throughout the Old Testament. It was Jesus Christ. In Proverbs chapter 8, go over there. Proverbs chapter 8. Look at it with me. Our Lord appeared to Gideon. The Lord appeared to Abraham. The Lord appeared several times throughout the Scriptures. Jacob, didn't it? You know the story. Well, look at it. Now, this is a whole chapter of Christ. One of the many. And it says, speaking of Christ, he says in verse 25, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. A body. David talked about a body hast thou prepared the Christ. Now, it wasn't just when Jesus entered in the body of that baby. It wasn't the first time the Lord walked on this planet. Oh, no. Look down in verse 30. It says, he was by the Lord, by God, as one brought up with him, daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, and rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. His delights were with the sons of men. He came down. He came down. Remember when it says God came down to Babel? See what man was doing? Not that he didn't know, but God came down to tell Abraham that most important. God came to the first man, Adam and Eve, in the garden, didn't it? God, Adam said, Scripture says he heard the voice of God walking. That's the Word of God made flesh. Dwelt among Adam and Eve and talked to them. His delights were with in the habitable parts of the earth with the sons of men, and he spoke to them. Well, Moses here is Jesus Christ is standing there.
He's beholding God's glory. God dwelling among us. God speaking to man. God becoming a man. God made flesh, full of grace and truth. We beheld His glory. We have. Yes, we have. Look back at the text, or back at Exodus 34 again. Exodus 34. Look at it. And he said in verse 6, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, you call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, I am. The whole world then was saying, you're just a man. You're just Jesus. You're just Jesus. You're just Jesus. You're just the son of Mary. You're the son of the carpenter. But his disciples said, literally took them up on a mount and unveiled himself. Like Moses. Moses saw him in person, who he was, the Lord. He was in his glorified body, I believe, because when Moses got out of his presence, he came down and says his face was shining so bright from being in the presence of the Lord, that's when he had to put a veil over his face. Nobody could even look at Moses. He had to talk with him through a veil. That's what this whole chapter is about. And our Lord has unveiled himself to us and shown us himself, his person. Christ stood there, the image of God. Hebrews 1 says, he's the express image of God. Man was created in the image of God, but he lost that image. Man doesn't have the image of God anymore. No, he doesn't. But God became a man, and he was the express image of God. What was it? Something you see? No, you couldn't tell the difference. God doesn't have an image. God's spirit. Man lost the image when he lost spiritual life. Are you with me? Is anybody with me? Man, everybody's created in his image. Adam was. We're created in the image of Adam. We're sons of Adam. We're not sons of God by nature. Adam was holy, upright. He had the image of God. Holiness, righteousness, purity, sanctity, honesty, truth, understanding, wisdom, love, kindness, graciousness, mercy. That's the image of God. That's the person of God. And when God became an express image of God, when God came down here, Christ was his name, you couldn't tell the difference between him and another man. See, that's not the image of God. It's his personality. It's his character. It's his character. Show me your glory. So Christ came down, the glory of God, a man, a God-man, the Lord. He proclaimed his name. I'm the Lord. No, you're just a man. No, I'm not. I'm the Lord. Who? The Lord God. Oh, yeah, we'll call you Lord. We'll call Jesus his Lord. But is he God? Yeah, the Lord God. Call him the everlasting Father, the mighty God, Isaiah said. That man that stood there was God. Oh, we don't believe that. We believe he's the Son of God. No, he's God. John said it. God was manifest in the flesh, he said. Thomas saw it, finally. Thomas didn't see anything. He saw a man, but he saw some prints in his hand and side, and he said, my Lord and my God. Saw his glory. Saw God's glory in a person, in Jesus Christ. In his way. Look at it. Read on. The Lord God, merciful and gracious. Look back at chapter 33. Look at this now. You want to see his glory? God's glory? We're beholding it. It's in it. We're having a hard time doing it. You ever look through a microscope? Huh? It's hard to bring things into focus, isn't it? You ever shown somebody, you see something? Look. We were on the beach, and I see something. My vision now is about 20/15. And it wasn't naturally. I had to have it operated on. But I'd see something way out in the distance as a dolphin or something. I said, look, Mom, look. Where? Right there. Point there. She said, where? There. She couldn't see it. Couldn't see it. Are you trying to bring it to the focus? I don't see it. I don't see it. God says, by my grace, I'm going to make my goodness pass before you. This is His way. This is His glory. This is how we see it dimly. But it's this. Verse 19 of chapter 33. I'm going to make my goodness pass before you. All the goodness of God is in Jesus Christ. You know that? A man's rich. That's not necessarily the goodness of God. That might be the curse of God. People that have all these blessings. And this is what this world's taken up with, people. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. Houses, lands, health, and all. That's not necessarily the goodness of God. You'll go back through the Scripture and through in our time. But God's dearest people were tried and afflicted and just deprivations. And read Hebrews 11 for yourself. Wandered about in sheepskin, goatskins, of whom the world is not worthy of. They didn't have everything in this world. If that's not the blessings of God, what you see, it's unsearchable riches. Who's the unsearchable riches of God? How are you made rich? You're rich in faith toward God. If you know God's Christ, that pearl, you've got... Jeanette, do you have a string of True Culture pearls yet? Don't? Mary, you got it? What's wrong with you, Steve? She doesn't either. I can't afford them. We can't afford one pearl. Anybody really got, you've got a pearl of great price. If you know Christ, the world's got pearls running out their ears. Diamonds and riches. If you have that great pearl of great price... Riches, unsearchable riches. The world doesn't see it, though. They don't see any beauty in here that they should desire Him. They go after these things. They see, what they see is what they go after. We're going after what we can't see. All this stuff, what's a pearl? You know, I ate some of those little creatures that make them. We ate them up. Several dozen of them. Love them, slimy little things. Didn't find one pearl. I sure like to eat them. Oysters. It's a piece of sand. What's a pearl? It's sand and an oyster's vomited. What a wonderful thing. I'm not going to live until I have them. Sand. The sands of time are sinking. Where are they? Where are the pearls? Sunk. This is what man's after. Oh, but there's here unsearchable riches. Dig, search for them. You'll find one pearl. And you've made rich, you'll find one pearl of great price. And you'll sell everything to have it. And you ladies are wearing it. I can see it in your face. Okay. Just like Moses, your face is shining. Well, he said, read on. He says, I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I didn't think of this before, but the Lord, God may have just have told him, it's the Christ. His name will be Jesus. Moses knew that name, Joshua. Didn't it? He knew that name, Joshua. Jesus, he never heard a Greek language. It's the same word as Joshua, Moses. It means Savior. You're not going in. Joshua's going to bring them in. You can't. You're the law. You can't bring them in. That's the way it's going to be. But only Joshua can. The Savior can bring them in. And I'm going to come down to this earth in the fullness of time, I'm going to be made a woman born under the law to redeem them that were under the law. These Israelites, that's not Israel, Moses. But I have an Israel, the sands of the sea. And I'm going to come down as a man. All my goodness is going to pass before man. My name is Jesus Christ, the Christ. He could have. What did Christ say? Moses wrote of me. Isn't it? He wrote of me. He saw my day. Abraham saw my day. Yes, he did. Don't you know what God told Abraham, what that ram represented? Well, read on. Verse 19 of chapter 33. He said, I will be gracious. Salvation's by grace. How's a man going to get to God? One way. Jesus Christ. One way. Christ said, I am what? Number one. The way. Show me your way. Christ came. Are you with me? We're beholding glory here. You say, well, are you? The world's not seeing this. Brother John Cheesley, the world's not seeing it. We see it every Sunday. Every Wednesday. That's why it isn't as glorious as it was. When we first saw it. When we first saw it. Look. When we first saw something. It's what Moses was standing at. God, I'm going to be gracious. Now Moses knew something about the grace of God. He was with a bunch of these people. Every time he turned around, they were running naked. They were doing wild things. He'd bring them the word, and they'd say, forget that, Moses. Give us some bread. We want some onions. Huh? Moses came down from the mountain the first time with the... God wrote this. Look at this. Huh? Moses came down from the mountain with God's word. He wrote his finger. Moses came down and said, Look! God wrote this. It's God's word. He wrote it in his finger. It's in the word of God. He said, yeah. Show us something. Is that not today? Look, people world over. Look, this is God's word. Glorious to behold. David said, my eyes have seen thy glory. Wondrous things from your word. I've seen your glory in your word. Moses came down and said, listen, all you sinners. Listen, you hell-deserving, no good, wretched, bound rebels against God. Listen, we ought to be in hell. God's gracious. God's going to give us glory. God's going to give us heaven. God's going to give us righteousness. We can't earn it. We can't keep one law. God's just going to give it to us. Give us some onions. God said, I will be merciful. I'm going to spare some of those sons of Adam. I'm going to spare some of those Israelites. Not interested in that, Moses. Mercy and grace and forgiveness, salvation. We're not interested in that, Moses. Moses believes God's merciful. God's gracious. God's good. God's word. Listen to what God said. And all the types that God gave him on the mountain concerning the ark and all that. And people weren't interested. Does that sound familiar? But we all believers, not everybody in this room, but all believers are beholding His glory. As in a glass, with unveiled face. I can look into the faces of some when I preach the gospel, just smiling. Others who obviously don't know it, it sounds good. But Moses came down and was just thrilled to be in the presence of God and to hear about grace, mercy, goodness, God's way and God's glory. But he didn't see a thing. He heard glory. And it says we're all beholding his glory. That, you understand? Go back to the text in 2 Corinthians 3, and then I'll quit, okay? And it says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, and it's God's sovereign grace and sovereign mercy. You know that? That's what God said. He said, Moses, I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to give something. I'm going to give something man can't get, man can't earn. By your law, by the law of Moses, no flesh will be justified. I'm going to get, but I'm going to freely give them something. I'm going to do it. Who's talking? Who's talking? Jesus Christ is. I'm going to do it for them. I'm going to give it to them. Just freely give it to them. They're going to be justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. They can't keep it by the laws and knowledge of sin, Moses. But by me is the knowledge of salvation. I'm going to be good, gracious to them. I'm going to give it to them. But I'm going to give it to whom I will. This is the glory of God, his sovereign grace. The world hates it. Hates it. It's God's glory. Sovereign mercy. He's going to be merciful. If he is merciful to one, it'd be glory. If there was one person saved out of all humanity, he'd be standing in heaven at the end of all this thing shouting, glory, 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 Lord God Almighty. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he me that he sent his Son. Glory, 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 hallelujah. One person to be sent. But he has a people, but he will be merciful to whom he will. Whom he will. And Paul said this in closing. Paul said, verse 18, in a glass we're seeing the glory of the Lord, and we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. Even by how? God's Spirit. This is the work of the Spirit. What's going on right now? If the world comes in and says, that's dead. Ain't nobody shouting. Ain't nobody rolling. Ain't nobody talking in an undiscernible language. Ain't no music playing. The wave's not going on. That's dead. No, people, they're dead. The Word is life. The Word of life. Where there's no Word, it's death. But where the Word of life, Spirit, the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows them to his people. That's what he does. And it says they're changed into the same image. Whose image? Well, like Moses, like I said, like Moses. Moses came down from the mountain with being with Christ himself, hearing about sovereign goodness, sovereign grace, sovereign mercy, forgiveness of iniquity. Remember Moses when he answered the Lord, he said, are you really going to be with us? This is how everybody's going to know, is if you're with us and that we're accepted. Remember that? He said that we're your inheritance, that you've accepted us, because we're not any better than those Egyptians. But this is how the world's going to know, is if you forgive us our sins and our iniquity. And Moses' face was shining when he heard all that. It was shining. And so do God's people when they hear it. And they're changed in the image of Christ, though. That's what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2. He said, being predestinated to be conformed to the image of him, Christ, from glory to glory. Some of you are the glory of God right now. Those of you who have had the gospel revealed to you, the glory of God, the person of Christ, through the gospel has come to you and opened your blind eyes and your deaf ears, and your dead heart has been, is, and your understanding has been quickened. And your glory. Romans 8 says it. I'm gonna quit. I promise. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Whom he did predestinate, he called. All this is past tense. Whom he called, he justified. Past tense. Whom he justified, he what?
glorified. When the gospel came to you, you were glorified, just like Moses. God unveiled himself. You understand that? We've already, Brother Stephen, we've already seen glory. Yes, we have. Together, just like James and John and Peter, no less, we've seen the glory of God in the face, the person of Jesus Christ. The world doesn't see it. Give me some onions. Talk funny, and I'll believe. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I'll tell you the truth. From face, from glory to glory. But, you know, it doth not yet what we appear what we shall be. We're now the sons of God. Yes, we are. Some of you have been already glorified. Wait till we really behold His glory. And then our faces will shine for eternity. Like Moses. And the whole thing will be unveiled before us. And we're with Christ. Just like Moses on the mountain. We're with Him. And the world is a kingdom before Him, and He tells us all that He has done and everything. Christ says, I did all this. I did all this. And you I've chosen to behold my glory. My glory. Well, all right, let's sing in closing. Number 505. Brother John, you come up. Now, how do you expect me to deal with the glory of God and 30 or 40 minutes, huh? We're going to spend eternity beholding it. 505. Let's stand as we sing, let's sing first and last verses. 505.